filteret og sådan, og ja, at Ariana Grandes fraseringer er så moderne. Og sådan, jeg tænkte også bare på sådan, jeg har altid tænkt, at sådan, hvor det var sådan, nå, det er fordi, for eksempel Jada, det er jo også, fordi alle elsker Ariana Grande. Det er jo, ja.
Totalt. Helt vildt. Det er sjovt at tænke på og sådan noget. Det er virkelig sjovt.
Ja.
Jeg tænker altid på, at det er også meget godt, at du lige siger noget med vokalen, fordi hver gang jeg hører den her sang, så tænker jeg på instrumentationen af den.
Mm.
Fordi der er engang en af mine meget gode venner, som jeg altid hører det her nummer med til fest, er musiker. Og vedkommende var bare sådan, altså den her syntes, altså går meget op i sådan linket mellem avantgarde og pop, og fremhæver meget den synd, der er i interviews, som en, hvor man ikke kan høre, hvad der bliver spillet.
Mm.
Altså, man kan bare høre, at det er en synthesizer, men man kan ikke høre sådan, hvad mere end det. Som jo er sådan et rimelig udfordrende greb, egentlig. Men så i den her sang, så virker det bare her godt. Så kommer jeg mig lige til at savne min ven, da jeg hørte det her nummer.
Det her, det, virkelig, det her afsnit, det går ud til vennerne.
Det går bare ud til vennerne. Det gør det altså.
Hvad hvis vi skal slutte af? Hvad vil du slutte af med?
Måske vi skal høre, jeg tænker på to ting, men det andet, det kan vi bare tage næste gang også. Så måske vi skal høre et nummer med en anden person, som synger meget smukt,
ja.
Som er en ny udgivelse,
mm-hmm.
som er Vad og Abdullah Minyawis nye album.
Aha.
Skal vi høre det?
Ja.
Det kunne jeg rigtig godt tænke mig. Det er en helt vildt flot udgivelse. Som er kommet for ganske nylig. Og det er bare, Vad, som er her i København, og så er en egyptisk sanger og poet og skuespiller, som hedder Abdullah Minyawi, som har lavet et album sammen. Og deres, altså, de udgav en af sangene fra albumet på et Cairo-label, der hedder Irsch, sidste år.
Kigger du på mig, som om jeg skulle vide noget?
Jeg tænkte bare på, om du godt vidste det allerede. Men hvis du allerede ved det, så kan det være, at lytteren ikke ved det.
Jeg ved det heller ikke.
Okay.
Desværre, jeg har faktisk tænkt på Cairo, da jeg tænkte, jeg ved faktisk ikke nok.
Nej.
Men jeg glemte at spørge.
Man har tid til at spørge efter, jo, tænker jeg. Men de har lavet der udgav de et nummer sammen på den her compilation, som også er rigtig god, som jeg virkelig kan anbefale. Men nu er der så ligesom kommet et helt album, der udfolder altså en større del af det her samarbejde. Og det er bare, ja, en blanding af Vads meget sådan karakteristiske, de her, han komponerer meget med noget, der hedder locked grooves. Altså man kan ligesom høre, at han også skærer vinyler som et sådan arbejde. Skærer han lækker ligesom til vinyl, eller han laver vinylmaster. Jeg synes, det er meget sådan fysisk musik også.
Så han, hvor vores forældre ser det typen, der er han så på vinyl.
Der er han så måske lidt mere på vinylsiden. De her meget, meget smukke kompositioner. Og så med Abdullah Minyawis sang indover. Som bare er helt vildt flot. Han har faktisk skrevet en virkelig flot tekst om det. Ja, Abdullah, må jeg lige læse det op, før vi hører det?
Jeg synes bare, det bliver jo bare sådan et program, det bliver bare, ej, hvor jeg er så kikset. et program, det bliver bare mere spændende, når man kommer i gang.
Ja, det er godt, det er godt den modsatte vej, hva'?
Ja, det er rigtigt.
Kæft, jeg havde ikke regnet med, at jeg skulle grine sådan i dag. Det bliver jeg bare nødt til at sige.
Nej, jeg har faktisk også fundet ud af, at det har tænkt rigtig meget over de sidste par dage. Jeg har siddet ned og tænkt over, at
hvor sad du henne?
Hvad?
Hvor sad du henne, da du tænkte over det?
Jeg var faktisk på vej ud af døren. også hvor jeg også hørte Ariana Grande. Men hvor jeg bare tænkte, hvis det er min yndlingsting i mit liv, det er faktisk at grine. Altså, jeg er sgu afhængig. Jeg er afhængig af det bis.
Du er også god til det.
Jeg er virkelig god til at grine.
Ja, du
jeg
bare.
Sørger for at gøre det altid.
Og det smitter. Det er så dejligt. Nu, albumet, de har lavet, hedder Notice a Tiny Scratch for the Blue Behind. Og det tekststykke, som Abdullah har skrevet, lyder sådan her. In a landscape no doubt inspired by pre-Islamic Arabia, Abdullah Minyawi recalls djinns and illuminates the wreckage of polytheism back in this time. In a theatrical narrative, a new style of writing manifests against the poetry form used in his previous work. A political royal rumbles offers a listener a telepathic experience of a valiant communist figure such as Abu Dar al-Ghafari, the inventor of Al-Salamu Alaikum, and draws an alter ego of the artist. This creates a spiritual guide, which evocates several unfamiliar sounds and immersing styles of traditional desert singing in its finest contemporary form. Og det kender jeg ikke så mange andre, der gør. Så det tænkte jeg, vi skulle høre. Og med det måske sige tak for i dag.
Tusind tak for i dag. Det lyder virkelig spændende. Ja. Kan vi høre det, eller hvad?
Ja.
Tak for i dag.
Undskyld på forhånd.
Undskyld på forhånd.
Thank you. She went upstairs to make her bed, and not a word to her mother said. Her mother, she went upstairs to sing, daughter, oh daughter, what's troubling you? Oh mother dear, I cannot tell, it's that railroad boy that I love so well. He's courted me my life away, and now at home he will not stay. There is a place in London town that railroad boy goes and sits down. He takes a strange girl on his knee, and he tells to her what he won't tell me. Her father, he came home from work, saying, where's my daughter? She seems so hurt. He went upstairs to give her hope, and he found her hanging by a rope. He took a knife and he cut her down, and on her bosom these words he found. Go dig my grave both wide and deep, put a marble stone by my head and feet, and at my breast put a white snow dove to tell the world that I died of love.
This is a BBC podcast. You can get all our podcasts and our terms of use at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Well, there are busy trading borders all over the world, but I've never seen anything like this. There are hundreds of women carrying bales even bigger than them.
For assignment here on the BBC World Service, I'm Linda Presley. And this is a Spanish town unlike any other. Melilla is located on the north coast of Morocco, a tiny speck of Europe on the continent of Africa.
What have you got in there? What's in there?
Now she's carrying used clothes.
How much does that weigh, Latifa?
60 kilos.
60 kilos. How long have you been doing this work?
24 years.
Latifa's one of the mule women of Melilla, Moroccan women who are used as porters or porteadoras to carry back-breaking loads of goods across the border from the Spanish enclave into Morocco. Because the merchandise is taken as personal luggage, it enters Morocco duty-free. It's an ancient trading relationship, and it highlights the complexity of one of Europe's most southerly frontiers, a border defended by a 6-metre-high fence where the wealth of the First World pushes up hard against the poverty of Morocco and the rest of Africa. Latifa says she earns €3 each time she delivers her load, and that it's the only work she can get.
I have family that must eat.
And how many kids do you have, Latifa?
And they're born. 4.
Latifa, do you have a husband?
La.
What happened to your husband?
She was married, but the husband beat her, and she got divorced.
Oh, right, we're getting in the way. The queue is beginning to move, and everybody is just pushing with their huge loads. Latifa's right in the middle of it. She's got a leopard skin baseball cap on top of her hijab. And she's actually now become totally invisible because of the numbers of enormous great bales of clothing that are being pushed by all of these women to the border. All of this frenetic activity is taking place in a cloud of dust.
Many of the women here are marginalised in Morocco's traditional society. They're divorced or separated, like Latifa, single mothers providing for their families. These women have the right to visit Melilla because they live in the Moroccan province of Nador, but they aren't allowed to reside in the Spanish territory. In the crush, an elderly woman, her head bent low under the weight she's carrying, is edging her way forward.
They work very hard, and I have 80 kilos on the back.
7,000 to 8,000 porters, the vast majority of them women, work this border crossing known as Barrio Chino every day. From early morning, the gates through the imposing reinforced steel fence are open only until midday. It's a limited window. So the pressure is on to get the job done and accounts for the pervading hysteria. Aziz Mohammed, one of Melilla's traders, employs 50 to 60 women and is watching as his merchandise literally staggers into Morocco. I ask him if it's a good business.
For me, it's good. I pay taxes, I pay the merchandising, I pay everything. But for the people who carry these products, I don't know if it's so good as for me.
And how much do you pay them for each trip?
Two trips, I pay 20 euros.
For me, coming from outside, it looks very bad, but you don't feel guilty employing women to do this work.
I feel guilty too, but we have no other possibility. The responsibility is from Morocco, not from us.
But you're paying the women.
I pay well for this woman, 10 euros a trip. Another traders pay less, it depends on the trader. I pay well.
And how much money can you make here every day, Aziz, trading like this? He's saying he doesn't know, Aziz.
Aziz is reticent to talk figures. But every day he shifts a container load of used clothes across the border, and Moroccan traders pay him around 4 euros a kilo for it. But this isn't just about dealing in second-hand goods. There are bolts of cloth, shoes, blankets, toiletries, used tyres, a huge variety of domestic goods, all imported into Melilla's low-tax economy and then hauled into Morocco and sold at a higher price. It's cheaper to import into Melilla than to other parts of the European Union because the Spanish territory doesn't belong to the customs union, so it doesn't have to impose the EU's tariffs on goods coming in. For traders, there are profits to be made, but for the women who do the heavy lifting?
They're using these women in a brutal way. There are women who are risking their lives, and there have been deaths as a consequence of this physical labour. It's carried out in conditions of semi-slavery.
Emilio Guerra is from the Union of Progress and Democracy, a new political party whose one MEP has raised the issue of the porteadoras in the European Parliament.
What we would like is that they work legally, that they work to a concrete system of rules and under conditions that aren't precarious. And if someone is profiting from this business, well, he should leave some of those profits, some of that wealth, with those workers.
And what is the alternative for this, what we see at the border? Is there an alternative economic model that you have?
I've said that Melilla has to change its economic model and join the EU's customs union. Melilla should become a real European city, so we can compete under the same conditions as any other Spanish city. At the moment, because we're outside the customs union, if we try and sell products that we make in Melilla inside the EU, they're treated as if they're coming from Japan or Hong Kong, and enormous tariffs are added.
The upshot, he thinks, is that Melilla relies instead on what it's done for decades, exporting across the border. Nothing wrong with that, says Melilla's business advisor for the local government, José María López. And, he says, this informal economy doesn't just benefit traders. Thousands of people, apart from the porteadoras, profit from it in Morocco.
It goes up to 25,000 people in the province because shops, warehouses, and it's a quite wide business in this part of Morocco.
So it maintains a lot of families, but we've been down on the border and seen it's quite dramatic, right?
It's dramatic, but it has a very positive aspect of it, is that those people is the only income, the only chance they have to make a living. Sure, a really hard work, but they have a chance of getting an income that in some cases is larger than the average income that any worker gets in Morocco. But this is a kind of relationship that is coming from, I would say, the last century, and actually it works for both sides.
But you say it's a trade that kind of started in the last century.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a trade that belongs in the 21st century when Spain is part of the European Union?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should Spain be sanctioning this kind of labour?
Well, actually, what we do is we sell goods for customers that come over to buy it. And that happens in any frontier where there is a difference of prices or taxes that makes goods cheaper or more convenient than in the other side of the border. These people over the border just come in as like a tourist and they take their load and they cross the border. Melilla doesn't say that they have to be women of a given age.
Oh, there's a fight just broken out in front. And Latifa is still pushing her way through. This is her first trip of the day, but many of the women here will come backwards and forwards three or four times. These women get paid, but they also have to, they say, give bribes to the Moroccan authorities as they pass through the border. Well, there's a great push and a shove now, and there are a lot of young men who are kind of pushing their way through, carrying their goods.
She makes only one trip because the men take the place. It's no opportunity for a woman to work.
Hasna is struggling against competition from the thrusting young men this morning, and she needs the 5 or 6 euros she'll make from carrying one load across the border.
She has one child, she's pregnant, and she has to pay the rent. She has her husband, but he is ill. He's got lung problem. He cannot work.
And when is your baby due?
She's 6 months pregnant.
So you're still doing this heavy work and you're 6 months pregnant? Wow. And there's no other choice for you? Nothing else you could do?
At the moment, it's no another work. But if she finds another work, cleaning houses or cooking, she will leave this.
Hasna's jalaba now is the colour of the earth around us. Everybody's covered in muck. There's dust everywhere. This is an extremely hard way to make a living. In the summer months, it's not uncommon for women to be hospitalised from heat exhaustion. And one Portiadora has been crushed to death. Now the Guardia Civil, the Spanish police, oversee the Portiadoras, maintaining a semblance of order and trying to ensure the security of everyone. Arturo Ortega is the officer in charge when I visit.
When they are waiting for 2 hours, they will fight for the time that they lost. When they are waiting, they are getting violent.
And what do you think, Comandante, when you see these women? It's just incredible what they're carrying, right?
Igual de increíble para usted que para nosotros.
It's incredible. Like, for you, it's for me. But if you are working here every day, you think that's normal, and it is not normal.
What happened here? So this lady here is like she's walking with a crutch. She's got a foot that's bandaged up and that she says is cut. She's showing me where it's cut. Hi, Abdel. We're joined by Abdel Kader Mohammed, who works for the CGT trade union and who's helping us with translation. It turns out Maria, who's 37, fell in the queue recently and broke her leg. She's also had breast cancer.
And what is she going to do today? Is she going to go across?
She cannot work today because she has the broken leg and she is ill from the breasts and she cannot work.
And she said that the queue is very violent today, yeah? What are you going to do then, Maria, today?
Oh, she's quite upset.
I go home today.
Que lo pasa mejor, eh? Hope you feel better.
Gracias.
Lunch in the Plaza de las Cuatro Culturas, in the shadow of the old walled city that's perched high above the harbour, feels a million miles away from the stories of hardship at the Barrio Chino. Melilla's been Spanish since 1497, sovereignty that's disputed by Morocco, which also claims Spain's other territory of Ceuta, further west along the coast. But with its broad avenues, bars and kiosks, Melilla does look and feel like an Iberian town. The main difference, perhaps, is that for a community of just over 80,000, its people are very multicultural, although not all of them are permanent residents.
I joined the fence. We organise, we have about 200 people, Guineans, Sierra Leoneans, Malians, from the different countries in West Africa. We call it FRAP. That means to set a programme to enter Melilla.
I meet Tippy, not his real name, touting for some car washing business in the town centre. A lanky 23-year-old Sierra Leonean, he spent 7 months in Morocco, camped on a mountain, gazing down on the bright lights of Melilla and waiting for his chance. In July, he scaled the 11-kilometre-long fence that separates Melilla from Morocco. It was his fourth attempt.
We're facing a lot of attack. The Morocco police, the Morocco gendarme, that day was in Ramadan. It was in Ramadan time. So we hide ourselves close to the wire where when they're going to break their fast. It's the time we attack, so we jump the fence. Many people get injured. Some people broke their legs, some people broke their feet. You know, it's not easy because it's too high.
It's 6 meters high,
right? 6 meters, and there are three fences.
So how did you get up there? Did you have a ladder or something?
No, not ladder. I climbed for myself.
You climb by yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a big guy. What are you, 6'1", 6'2"?
No, so I climb for myself. Many people, they cannot, it not be easy. So that I...
Because people died in that attempt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people died. A lot of people died.
Did you think about that before you did it? Did you think that you could die doing this?
I believe I can die. But for me to go back to my country, I don't see it as a good idea. Because if I leave Morocco, that I'll fail my journey. I believe that forward is the only way.
Where do you want to be?
I want to stay in England.
But you know that in England, a lot of people are against immigration. Have you heard that?
Yeah, not only England. But there's no way they can stop illegal immigrants.
Between January and September this year, around 3,000 migrants tried, like Tippy, to scale the border fence, almost double the number that attempted it in the same period last year. Others have tried to come hidden in the boots of cars or on boats that have arrived in Melilla's harbour. The migration story has brought Melilla unwelcome international notoriety. But there's no guarantee Tippy will be able to stay. Around 30 illegal migrants are deported every week. On the edge of Melilla, within view of the border that separates this city from Morocco, is the centre of temporary accommodation for immigrants who arrive here. And we've got an appointment to meet Maria Dolores Morales. She's the legal advisor here at the centre, and she's going to show us around. This is where migrants stay if they get into Melilla, and it's where Tippy's been living since he arrived in July.
Hoy tenemos 806 personas.
Today we have 806 persons here.
And what is your capacity?
480.
480. So you have almost double the number of people that you should have. That must be very difficult to manage, yeah?
Too difficult.
So just walking down, it's like a main street here. So you've got the school at one end, you've got the gate at the other, and in between there's rows of single-storey rooms, there's washing everywhere, drying in the brilliant sunshine.
There are zones that they can dry the clothes, and they sit around this zone to observe that nobody steal the clothes.
So that's why there's a lot of people sitting around here. Mm-hmm. They're literally watching their clothes dry. That's sad,
sí.
Huh?
Sí.
Very sad.
Es triste, sí.
There's a Syrian family here who arrived. Hermanos? Okay, so these are three brothers. It's the wife of one of these boys. Two older women as well, with two babies. And how did they come? Can we just try and find out how they came here? They came a month ago, driving all the way. Syrians show up here almost daily now. The Arab Spring has increased pressure on Malia. Nearly half of all those arriving come from the Middle East, and if they have cash, they may buy false Moroccan passports from people smugglers, because Moroccans registered in Nador have the right to travel in and out of Malia. It's much easier for someone from the Middle East to pretend to be Moroccan than it is for someone from sub-Saharan Africa. And in any case, the sub-Saharans are usually the poorest, people who could never afford the hundreds of euros it costs to buy a passport. I cross the border into Morocco to find out more about these migrants.
We're in the foothills now of Mount Gourougou. It's the mountain that you can see from Malia across the fence. And this is where a lot of the migrants, especially the young men, they camp waiting for an opportunity to cross over the huge fence that separates Morocco from Malia. There are all kinds of estimates of the number of young men who are camped out around this mountain. We just met somebody from a humanitarian organisation in Nador, the Moroccan town closest to here, who told us they thought was about 600 people currently camped around on this mountain. We're being taken now by two young migrant men.
You want one of this?
Yeah, he's fine.
We're joined by a few others and stop on the stony path, perching on rocks among the scrub and giant cacti. Timo, not his real name, is from Cameroon. He's an exhausted-looking rake of a man with bloodshot eyes. I ask him how long he's been living on the mountain of Gourougou.
1 year, 7 months.
You've been living here 1 year, 7 months? Have you tried to go across the fence?
Many times, more than 6 times.
And what happened?
You see, when I go there, police people, when they catch us, starting beating us, break our legs, our hands. I broke my leg, my right foot.
Your right foot?
Yes.
And who did that, the Moroccan side or the Spanish side?
The Moroccan side. They hit me with a stick.
And that's when it broke?
When I fell down to the wire, they came and beat me.
Okay, so you got some pretty bad scars there. And when was the last time you tried to go?
3 days to this.
3 days ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and what happened then?
A helicopter see us. That's why we returned back.
How many people were you then?
150.
What is life like here on the mountain? It's a different world, no?
There are animals we live here. The snakes, many things, scorpion, many things.
When did you leave home?
2011, 2 years outside.
2 years?
Yes.
But you still think you're going to get across the fence to Malia?
I crossed the fence, they threw me out, Guardia Civil.
How old are you?
21 years.
Only 21 years. You're so young, huh? And you're looking to me much older than 21, huh? Where I come from in London, in the UK, there's a lot of people, and across Europe, there's a lot of people who want to stop people like you coming to Europe. Can you understand them?
Why they do that?
Because they're worried about jobs, and they're worried about the economic crisis, and they're worried about resources.
We are not going to Europe to collect all the money of Europe. Yeah. We are going to Europe to go and collect a little money to help the family.
So when is the next time that you try to go to Malia?
I don't know. We send people there to go and control the fence.
So you have people there who are watching the fence and
yes.
Seeing when the military are there and the police and
yes.
The Guardia Civil. So you're very organised here.
Yes, like armed robbers.
Like robbers, like armed robbers.
Oh, yes.
We start the climb down and I chat to Adil, a local humanitarian worker who's brought us to meet the migrants.
All of them, they smile, but in depth they have a big sad
And the big sadness inside.
Yeah.
And they just watch and they look across at Melia from here.
And they call Melia Babylon. They call it Babylon.
Back in Melia, 600 officers from Spain's Guardia Civil worked to prevent these young men reaching Babylon.
I'm with Sub-Lieutenant Juan Antonio Martín Rivera from the Guardia Civil, and we're heading out to the border. At the moment, we're passing through what is a quite lovely area of forested pine.
Es el Monte Gurugú, donde pueden estar.
He points to the mountain of Gurugú in Morocco and says migrants like the ones I met from Cameroon come down every day to try to get across the fence.
OK, so we've just arrived. There's three of Guardia Civil here, and this is one of their stations, the side of the fence. Let's go and see what's been happening. Muy buenos días.
Este es un punto especialmente sensible.
This is a very sensitive point, and that's why we have here an agent from the reactive team.
Yeah, and has anything happened here with the fence in the last 24 hours?
We saw movement 1 kilometer far away from the border, but they don't attempt to get to Melilla.
And what is it like when you see those hundreds of people coming? You are on this side of the fence.
Miedo, no. Quizás de las pedradas que te puedan.
We are not afraid. We are afraid from that they, perhaps threw stones. But we are not afraid from the attempt.
Have you been here when there's been a big assault?
I work here at this point for 15 years. I don't know if there are instructions from the smugglers, but they are more aggressive as 15 years before.
The mass invasions have injured officers from the Guardia Civil. The grainy video images of hundreds of young men surging up and over the reinforced steel are shocking. But in Morocco and Melilla, I've also heard allegations that the Guardia Civil have used violence against the migrants. I asked Sub-Lieutenant Martín Rivera about those stories.
No, no.
It's not true that we use violence. We work respecting Spanish law. The immigrants are not delinquents, but we are fighting against the smugglers, against the organizations that inform the immigrants to come to Melilla with violence. They are very aggressive.
I met a young man yesterday in Gurugú, and he said that he'd come over the fence, he reached Spanish territory, but the Guardia Civil sent him back into Morocco.
That's something that they say a lot, informed by the smugglers. It's not true that immigrant that reach Melilla is returned to Morocco.
Melilla is one of the most unusual places I visited, a town completely dominated by its geography. While its economy is melded with its neighbours in Morocco, it's been forced to become Fortress Europe on the tip of Africa. People told me how 20 years ago you could walk freely from Melilla into Morocco, just stroll across. There were no 6-metre-high razor wire fences under constant watch, the challenge for men like Tippi. I asked this young Sierra Leonean what his parents think about him making it to Melilla.
They are very happy because I'm the first child to God to give this kind of opportunity to be in Europe.
So they're proud of you, are they?
Yeah, and they are very proud because it's not easy to travel from Sierra Leone to Spain by road. They're very happy for me. They give me all their blessings. Today I'm here in Europe.
That's all from this edition of Assignment and me, Linda Presley. To hear more in the series, go to bbcworldservice.com/assignment.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Sterreplaten Extra.
Weird music isn't weird anymore, it's just music that exists.
Goedenavond en welkom bij Sterreplaten. Ook wij hebben onze eindejaarslijst klaar. We hebben gewikt en gewogen en het komende anderhalf uur presenteren we het resultaat. We beginnen met een groep uit Gothenburg, een trio, Amateur Hour. Hun album Gar I Kras kwam in april uit. Het klinkt heel dromerig, nostalgisch. Het heeft eigenlijk ook iets aandoenlijk lo-fi. Het nummer dat wij gaan draaien betekent verlichte stad in het zweet. Stad I Ljus, hier is Amateur Hour. Stad I Ljus van Amateur Hour van op het album Gar I Kras. Dat kwam in april uit op het label Discreet. Naar Japan dan. Japans vijftal The Moment of Nightfall. Op het album Memories Disappear in Echoes verzamelden ze traag glooiende popsongs. Het is een introverte zoektocht naar muzikale textuur. Van op het album is dit Everyday Rehome van The Moment of Nightfall.